All right, that was a good tease. Not only the Oakland A's and the San Francisco Giants have been rivals for so long, but it goes back to the early 1900s. They're right. The Oakland Oaks and the San Francisco Seals. They used to play a morning game and an evening game and take the ferry back and forth. All right, Mark Simon joins us. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Mark, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing fine. Boy, I'll tell you, and I usually don't comment on umpires. I really don't. But both sides last night, and I know the box is not the most accurate thing in the world, but, boy, the umpiring last night in this game I thought was very, very inconsistent.
You were clearly listening to Javier Lopez, Dave Fleming, and John Miller, too, because he was subject the whole game. That guy, Mark Ripperter, has a big strike zone. And much to, I'm sure, everyone's delight, Phil Cuzzi is the umpire today behind the plate, and Phil Cuzzi has an even bigger strike zone than Mark Ripperter. So whatever you saw yesterday, get used to it, because you're probably going to see it again today. By the way,
there's always trouble with Phil Cuzzi, you know that.
Yeah. So the Giants weren't the only ones to have umpire issues last night. So in San Diego, the Padres got Doug Innings, who is the king of the big strike zone. And Jace Tingler and Manny Machado both got ejected for arguing a call in that game. What's funny is the Padres drew 10 walks, so I don't know that they necessarily had a lot to complain about. And then in the Met-Dodger game, Nestor Cabrera got both teams upset, but in particular the Mets, because he called a strike three in the eighth inning of that game last night when the game was hanging in the balance on Jeff McNeil on a 3-2 pitch that was clearly ball four. The inning continued. J.D. Davis wound up striking out two. But McNeil's pitch, it wasn't close, and he threw his bat and got very animated, as Jeff McNeil does. But yeah, three West Coast teams in the NL West yesterday, and all three had the fun of dealing with the umpires.
Boy, the Mets are having a rough time right now. How are you handling this?
You really want to talk about that?
Well, like, I thought I'd say this. You always said, "Don't worry, the Mets will be fine."
I know, I did.
It's like that gif, you know, the dog drinking coffee and there's fire all around him, that thing.
This is why I don't bet on sports. This is why I don't do well in fantasy sports, because my predictions tend to be terrible. I felt comfortable about the Mets all year, and then, 12 guys went on the injured list. They lost their best pitcher. They lost Lindor and Baez basically in, 48 hours. And the Braves got hot. And the Braves, I felt before the season started the Braves were the best challenger to the Mets, and they've clearly gotten hot and surpassed it. And now they get the Orioles this weekend with a chance to basically bury the Mets while the Mets are on the West Coast stuck in this malaise of giant Dodger destruction, basically.
Boy, what a couple of weeks. All right, today we have really an interesting matchup, I think. Kevin Gausman, Sean Manaea, there's got to be a lot of interest in it, and you probably have some good numbers on it.
Sure. So Kevin Gausman, I think this is pretty clear from if you've watched, but just to put numbers to it, last six starts, splitter's not the same pitch, hasn't been the same pitch, hasn't used it as much, has been forced to use his fastball more, and the fastball's gotten bopped a bit. Last six starts for Gausman, that splitter should be like 60, 65, 70% strikes. It's 53% strikes in those last six starts. He's just not getting strikes with it. As a result, having to throw the fastball more, opponents hitting 328 against the fastball in the last six games. For Manaea, get to him early. First two innings of games, ERA about 5. Next four innings of games, ERA of about 3. So you want to get him there, and you want to load up your lineup with right-handed bats, as I'm sure Gabe Kapler has done today, because right-handers are where it's at against him. Left-handers do not fare well against either his slider, or he sneaks in a changeup every now and then and fools them too.
Boy, the Giants are going to see a lot of left-handed starters, and when they do, like today, 7 out of 9 of the hitters are right-handed. Is this the way they're going to roll for the rest of the season, or would they possibly stick with a lefty?
So I was thinking about this because you have essentially, what, three decisions to make. One, Brandon Crawford's playing against everybody. No doubt, clear-cut, easy decision. Brandon Belt hit lefties all right this year. He's probably playing against everybody. Yaz is a little bit of a different story because Yaz hasn't hit lefties at all this season. Hit the home run last night. I was just reading Susan Slusser's piece where Gabe Kapler was talking about he's had good stretches. He looks good at the plate. But the thing that the Giants have to think about is that they have the capability to put out a really good lineup and take Yaz out of it and put a righty bat in that can hit left-handed pitching. And it will be interesting to see as the season further develops with the lefties that they face, and then presuming they make the postseason, the lefties that they face there. They've been mix and match so much this whole season, not as much with Yaz, but it'll be an interesting decision that I think it's worth keeping an eye out that if Yaz does play against lefties, how he does, because that would determine whether or not he would keep playing against lefties.
Well, you take Wade and La Stella, too. And yesterday, the top of the order, 1-3, I think, was 1-10, including Posey. So you got Wade and La Stella. They've got to get on base, and I don't think they're going to play against lefties.
Yeah, it's essentially they're playing a game of platoon. And they were talking, I think you even were citing it yesterday, like, when are they going to use the pinch hitters? Because now it's like every game you presume that they're going to use three or four pinch hitters in the fifth, sixth, or seventh inning. And that's the way they're going to play it this year. And as I said, it'll be interesting to see how that strategy plays out deeper into the season and then even beyond that.
Okay. The A's, boy, Starling Marte has made quite a difference, hasn't he?
Yeah. So he had the nice catch yesterday. He has been very speedy for them, but he leads the team in stolen bases and he's been there, what, 3 weeks? He has had very good play coverage since he has been there this season. He has hit the inside pitch. He has hit the outside pitch. Of note on him, he has seen 8 split-fingered fastballs all season, so Kevin Gausman will give him a little bit of a different look today. Maybe that will be the thing that shuts him down. But, yeah, he was a good acquisition. He's basically their Bryant, as I think has been said, and I think he's proving out that that they made the right choice there.
Marte, 7-10 with a home run against Gausman. What do you think he'll throw him?
I think he's going to throw him splitters, and I think he's going to have to hope that they work.
I think he's going to walk him. Well, you don't want to walk him because then it could be a double.
All right. That's the thing about the splitter. You can just throw the pitches in a strike, so if he takes it, he takes it.
Yeah. Hey, the Padres, I think they've lost something like 14 out of 23, a rough game last night. Tatis got beaned with the bases loaded. And you're right, the umpire then got crazy after that. Boy, what a fall, huh, for the Padres, and the Reds are coming. Obviously, they tied them.
Yeah, so the Padres now have gone like 2 months where their starting pitching has an ERA of about 6. It's not a problem of necessarily hitting for them. It's a problem of pitching. And the starting pitching, Darvish got hurt. Paddock's hurt. Lamet's been out for a good chunk of the season. And Blake Snell has not been what they thought he was going to be. He's had like 2 or 3 really good starts where he looked like Blake Snell, Cy Young winner. But other than that, he's not the same. Teams are waiting him out. And the Reds got hot. And the Reds got hot when Joey Votto got hot. 1,300 OPS in his last 30 games with 17 homers and 41 RBIs. That's MVP
Amazing.
Numbers. That's Freddie Freeman numbers. He's been awesome. Luis Castillo, also don't overlook him. He got off to that dreadful start earlier in the year. He's pitched to a 3 ERA in his last 15, so he's been pretty good. They're sketchy, though, because of their bullpen. And I would say this, too. They're the quick pitch team of the year. If you watch quick pitch in the morning on MLB Network, they have the broadcaster who gets the most excited, and they do a lot of stuff late in games, like 7th, 8th, 9th inning. So there's a lot of excitement to their highlights, if that counts for anything.
Well, David Bell should be second in manager of the year after Kapler because yep. The way he handles that bullpen. All right, I know you're a Jeopardy fan, and
yes.
Richards was supposed to be the host. He's out now, and yep. I say bring Maya in, Bialik. I love her.
Yep.
You say bring in John Miller and Dave Fleming. Come on.
So I was thinking about this and what baseball announcers would be good Jeopardy hosts. I actually thought Joe Buck did a very good job. In his week. I think that John would be a really interesting listen on Jeopardy because of his enunciation and because of how clearly he says every word. I think some of the contestants would get a little, like, he's so deliberate in the way he speaks that I think some contestants might get impatient. Dave, I think, has a pretty good temperament for Jeopardy vocally, and I think he would actually be pretty good at it.
Yeah, I agree. That'll be interesting. I'm going to put his name out there. Very good. Always a pleasure to talk with you. We'll catch up with you next week. It's Giants Braves next Saturday, so we'll look forward to chatting with you, Mark. Thanks so much.
Playoff preview.
Absolutely. Freddie Freeman, boy, could be an MVP. That is Mark A. Simon Says on Twitter. Mark Simon Sports Info Solutions. All right, more coming up. Kerry comes back with us, and he is going to talk to Bobby Nightingale. Not Bob Nightingale, Bobby Nightingale. He covers the Reds for the Cincinnati Inquirer, and he's going to talk about the Reds and the ground they've made up. All right, coming up next, Bobby Nightingale right here on the Sports Leader.